The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hi, this is Bill Hayes.
And Susan Seaforth Hayes from Days of Our Lives. You are listening to TV Confidential.
Right now, I'd like to introduce a very charming lady who loves the parade as much as I do, Miss Betty White.
Thank you, Lauren. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And I guess we should say happy birthday, too.
Oh, we should indeed, Betty, because that special occasion I mentioned is the 40th birthday of the Macy's Parade.
And to celebrate, the world's largest store has lined up the world's most super sensational 40th anniversary parade.
Super sensational is right. More great marching bands than ever before, more high-flying balloons, more stars, more floats.
More smiling faces than I've ever seen in one morning.
Ed Robertson with a clip from the November 27th, 1969 broadcast of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade featuring Lauren Green and Betty White. You can hear that clip in its entirety at archival television audio, atvaudio.com. We thank Phil Grice for making that clip available as part of our tribute to Betty White this week. In the meantime, reminder that Mary Tyler Moore Show historian Jennifer Armstrong and Golden Girls historian Jim Colucci will both join us in our second hour as we continue our special program-length tribute to Betty White. Betty White passed away Friday, December 31st at the age of 99, just a few days short of her 100th birthday. We hope you stay tuned for that. In the meantime, Greg Arabar is with us for a special Betty White-centric edition of the DVD and streaming report. Greg, of course, you can read twice a month, cartoonresearch.com, as well as gregarabar.com. And in our correspondence the last couple of days, you said, Greg, that you once shared a room with Betty White. Kind of, sort of. Did you ever work directly with her in your travels and time with Disney?
I didn't share a room with her, but she'd get a big kick out of that. I almost met her because I had produced a Golden Girls presentation at D23 Expo, but she was unable to attend. But she did send a lovely note that got a huge applause. Just the note. Imagine if she was there. And I was in a lavish Disney spectacle special with her, but I was nowhere near where she was because she and Bea Arthur hosted the Walt Disney World 50th anniversary special, and I was in the crowd. So I can safely say that Betty White and I shared thousands of people apart. So she and I were in the crowd together. I and my father and mother and sister were somewhere in the shot. You can see us possibly in the wonderful sequence with Ray Charles. I'm sure this is somewhere on the internet. And where he's on this riser, it was incredible, in Town Square playing. And also in the scene where the monkeys were playing in Adventureland. You could see my sister very well because she's wearing red. And Peter Tork was right next to her. They were shot from several vantage points, appearing in the balcony, and then appearing in the crowd. And it was very monkey-like. And Peter was right next to my sister. And he said, "Do you mind if I touch you?" You know, because he was right next to her. And she said, "Of course." And it aired on her birthday. So it was like the greatest birthday present you could ever have is be on the air with the monkeys and all her friends were calling. But they were the hosts of that. So that was the closest. Personally,
Greg Arabar is with us. There is an issue with Greg's sound. The first part of the segment, we've just made the adjustment. So we apologize for the technical difficulty, but Greg is now coming in loud and clear.
This is one of those situations where what can be said about Betty White that hasn't been said already. And so I thought, well, I remember when she was selling Marzetti fresh salad and coleslaw dressings that you could only buy in your grocer's fresh salad case because it was so fresh that it would go bad if they just sold it on the shelf. And of course, she was right, because they cost a little more, but they were worth it. I mean, I'm sure nobody's come up with Marzetti yet and all of the thousands of reminiscences.
I think you have staked a claim in Betty Whiteness, Greg. But my question is, was that a filmed commercial that she did? Was that a local commercial that she did? Or would that have been like a live spot that she did in the course of, say, hosting the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade or the Rose Bowl Parade, which is a part of Betty White's broadcasting career that is often overlooked because of her work on the Mary Tyler Moore Show and the Golden Girls Not in Cleveland?
Oh, no, I didn't actually do that commercial, but I remember it airing frequently in the late 70s. To me, Betty White was the Macy's Parade. That was the Betty that I knew growing up. Betty White, not everyone remembers as the person that she became, that she started to spoof on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. The reason that she was hired to play Sue Ann Nivens is because the character was a satire of Betty White. And they said, do you think she'd play it? And she jumped at the chance. And she played it so flawlessly. But what people didn't realize is that she had also been an actress for many, many years, and that she could play both parts, the on-camera Sue Ann and the face of Sue Ann Nivens, and then the dark side of Sue Ann Nivens. And that's how brilliant she was. But what we all knew was the Betty White who appeared on game shows and who hosted parades. And there is an iconic shot that's all over with her and Lauren Green and over by Macy's calling the parade. And that's something that I have a lot of experience with, because we've talked about Regis Philbin and Joan London and how difficult it is to do what they do. And that's the kind of pro that she was, because to do that sort of thing, to be on your toes, that goes all the way back to her experience working on the Al Jarvis Show every day, 4, 5, 6 hours, filling time, talking endlessly, introducing, just knowing what to say. And that's what trained her for what she was able to do later, to be put in any situation and always be on time, always be prepared, and also being ready when something went wrong. Somebody mentioned in Ken Levine's column today, someone was asking him the question about guest actors on sitcoms, how are they treated? And he said on all the shows he wrote, they were always treated wonderfully. But on some of the shows that he worked on that he didn't do regularly, so in other words, not the shows he did like Cheers and Nash and Frasier, but other shows he did like day jobs on, they weren't always treated well. They were shunned. They were treated like strangers. And somebody wrote a comment saying, Betty White was the only person on a show I think they worked on that came up to them and said, are you comfortable? Welcome? That kind of thing. Personally, though I never met her, she and Jack Benny are the models for how to be as people and how to be as professionals. Jack Benny, in that he always gave everybody the chance to be better than him. And it was the best for him, which I don't see enough of, and it's getting less and less of. It's like that insecurity of, if they're better than me, then they're a threat to me. No, that's not true. If they're better than you, let them be. Let them thrive. It makes you better. How stupid can you be to be threatened by that? And the what Betty White did is, she wouldn't have worked as much as she was if she wasn't a constant pleasure every time she was on a set, if she wasn't always... June Foray was like that. She was always early. That's the question between why do you hire someone and why do you think twice about it? Because they're going to deliver. They're going to deliver well. They're going to give you always the best. But they're also going to be just a joy to have around.
Greg Airbar is with us, sharing a few thoughts on the passing of Betty White. Betty White, television icon, television institution. Betty White passed away Friday, December 31st at the age of 99, 17 days shy of what would have been her 100th birthday. But for all, as far as I'm concerned, she was 100, and her career spanned the past century of entertainment and pretty much the entire history of television.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Hey there.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
You mentioned June Foray a little while ago. Our mutual friend, Bob Bergen, who, like you, was a mutual friend of June Foray, had this to say about Betty White, Bob Bergen, voice of Porky Pig, as governor of the performers peer group at the Television Academy. I, Bob Bergen, had the pleasure of meeting Betty White a few times over the years. She never disappointed. She was exactly who you expected her to be. As sad as this loss is to our industry and her fans, we should all celebrate the life, laughs, and memories that will live on in reruns for generations to come. Betty White truly was a golden girl. Our mutual friend Bob Bergen shared a few thoughts on Betty White. Bob's quote, courtesy of our mutual friend Harlan Bull.
Oh, Bob. Bob puts things so beautifully, and Bob has worked with some of the biggest names. So I anything that he says, may I quote Ed Norton, may I echo those words? The nice thing also about Betty White's legacy is that she not only did shows and broadcasting that was temporal, but she did stuff that will last forever. And not all performers are like that. You know, you have a lot of people who did talk shows and were ubiquitous, but what they did was of its time and doesn't get seen anymore. You know, like a person like Jack Parr, who was everywhere, or Arthur Godfrey. People who know television know who they were, and at the time they were. And you can go back to any era and say, remember when so-and-so was just the thing? And they because of what they did, they didn't do anything like a film or a really huge sitcom. They kind of went into the ether for the most part. Betty White did both. And the Golden Girls will probably run forever. The Mary Tyler Moore Show will. Several other things she did will. Not too many performers have that because she did so much.
If you think about it, she's got four things that likely will run forever one way or another. You mentioned Mary Tyler Moore. That's available both on physical on demand DVD as well as streaming on demand on Hulu, I think, right now. Golden Girls, also available, widely available one way or another. Hot in Cleveland, I think, is available one way or another. And The Match Game, which is not only available on either Game Show or Buzzer. There's also a couple of physical DVD collections in The Match Game, as well as I believe there's a dedicated Match Game channel on YouTube. So she's got four. Look, if you're an actor, I'm not an actor, but I talk to enough actors that I can say this. If you're an actor, you hope to have one role that people remember you by. She has at least four that people know her by and that people can continue to enjoy her forever and ever.
There's also selected episodes of Match Game, Password, Password Plus, and Tattletales, and I'm pretty sure she and Alan Ludner are on some of those.
Well, look, yeah, it was a Goodson Todman show, and both her and Alan were wedded to Goodson Todman for the better part of 25 years. And so Alan, I think, did a couple of Match Games. I would not be surprised if he and Betty did Tattletales.
So it was, because you also had Bob Barker and Dorothy Jo.
Dorothy Jo, yes.
And Steve Allen and Jane Meadows. So a lot of times, and Bert Convy and Ann Convy. So there was a lot of game show and spouses on that. So it was, that was kind of a fun show. you could throw a rock and find something to watch with Betty White on it pretty easily. And you've got to be careful with purchasing the physical media now, because it's sort of like COVID Lysol. You know, there are some people who are trying to jack up prices, but you can find reasonable prices online for the stuff as well of the various sitcoms. The newer stuff is fairly reasonable. Pot in Cleveland and Golden Girls are available. Hot in Cleveland's a complete set. Golden Girls is separate. Mary Tyler Moore was discontinued, but they still sell the individual seasons. And she also did so many guest shots on shows. She also did a lot of cartoon voices. In fact, the last cartoon that she did was she was in Toy Story 4. There was a character named Forky, and she was actually a character that was named Bitey White. And there's a short on Disney Plus called Forky Asked the Question that, according to IMDb, is her last credit. That's on Disney Plus. They do little shorts, little Pixar shorts, and little things based on some of the features. And so, besides another cartoon called Trouble, I see Toy Story 4 and Forky Asked the Question as that. But she also did Pound Puppies, which was the second version of Pound Puppies that was on. And so she did some cartoons, but. She played Mrs. Santa Claus in one thing. Of course she would. You know, if anything, she should have been Mrs. Santa Claus. She was sort of born to be, besides Angela Lansbury.
Yes, and Shirley Booth.
Yeah, I don't know if everybody wants to pick her one of her great moments, because there's so many. But I think what epitomized what she could do that I always think of as, you know, if you're going to put clips together, is there was an episode of Mary Tyler Moore where Sue Ann was dating this younger man. I think he was played by James Luisi.
From Awkward Files.
Yeah.
Chappie.
And he jilted her just before she was going to be winning the Teddy Award.
Yes.
You know, there's always those Teddy Awards episodes once a year. And she was, like, shattered by this. And she, of course, wins. And she's her head is down, and she's shattered. And she walks up to all of this applause, and then she whips her head around, and she's just delighted and so happy, and she's Sue Ann. And in that moment, she did both of those characters. And it was like, it's no wonder. That was like what she did.
It was one of the few times that she and Mary actually bonded. Because Sue Ann was one of the few people that Mary Richards did not like. She tolerated. And Sue Ann didn't like Mary either, because she was threatened by her. But in that episode of Mary Tyler Moore that you just mentioned, Greg, there are a couple of nice moments where Sue Ann lets her guard down and lets Mary comfort her. And it's a cool moment.
Yeah, and there was that. It was the same thing with Golden Girls. You know, Rose was supposedly the sort of, it took her about 2 minutes to get what everyone else was saying, and then she would go into the fabulous St. Olaf stories. And, you know, strangely, and my wife, Suzanne, felt bad, but on my Christmas stocking, I got one of those little cans of mints, and it was a Golden Girls St. Olaf mint with a picture of Betty White on it. And that was only a few days before she passed.
Wow.
And Suzanne said, "Wow, that's a little strange." She says, "I'm so sorry, but St. Olaf was..." But I'll treasure it. You know, again, famously, she was supposed to play the character that Rue McClanahan was going to play, because that was the Sue Ann character, the vivacious, more, worldly type. And Rue McClanahan said, "Well, the sillier character was what I played on Maud." And she said, "Yeah, and the Sue Ann character I've already played on Mary Tyler Moore. Let's switch them." And that was how versatile both of those performers were. But in the same way, you could see how Rose would have moments of great insight, which was always interesting. You know, that was what made that show so good, is that those characters weren't types. Those characters were human beings. And the writing was outstanding, and the performing was outstanding. And, you know, and I want to point out, entertainment industry, that show wouldn't sell today. It was astonishing that show sold when it did. Show about old ladies in Miami that have a love life and are vital contributors to society and have an active role in society and are funny and witty. And it's like, excuse me, but old people are contributors to society and are funny and witty and cool.
If I may, I think the proper term would be women of a certain age. And I think if you framed it like that, that would sell.
Well, Well, yeah, of a certain age, it's just like saying, marginalized people, because there's a tendency for popular culture to marginalize, and we see it, or the underrepresented. We see that in an awful lot of things. There's a tendency to still stereotype, to still make jokes, to still do those. The jokes that are allowed to be made are still being made. And a lot of them are at the expense of people of a certain age. And Golden Girls didn't really do that. Golden Girls is hugely popular with young people, teenagers, college kids, people in their 20s. It doesn't skew old, as they say in demographic circles, because the demographic stuff is sort of, that could be analyzed to be something that is not necessarily. Research is questionable because there's other research that could refute it, if you know what I mean. So it serves what it has to serve. And Golden Girls flies in the face of all of that, because all ages like it. And it's funny, and it's standing up, and it's becoming one of the shows that's like rising to the top of eternity. When you look at it, who would have thought when it was on? I mean, it was a hit when it was on, but who would have thought it would have stood the test of time the way it does and become so iconic? But there you go.
Betty White passed away Friday, December 31st at age 99.
Yeah, I want to throw in one little funny story, something that also probably wasn't mentioned. But this was shared by a very good friend, a composer, Michael Silvershire, who with Patti Silvershire wrote many, many great Disney songs and theme songs. And he shared this story that connected with animation as well. He said, Patti and I were attending the recording session for the Gummy Bears theme. Gummy Bears, with Jeremy Lovett conducting a 60-piece orchestra at Evergreen Studios with the great Joe Williams singing, John Williams' son. When in walked Betty White and the company of Tony Randall, they proceeded to sit near the back of the studio as we listened to a playback. I don't remember who turned to me, this was 1986, and said, what are they doing here? I shrugged and went back there and asked them if I could help them. Betty White said, we're supposed to be meeting with so-and-so. I forget who it was, she said. And I said, I think you might be in the wrong place. This is a Disney music session. Betty and Tony looked surprised and apologetic. And then Betty stood up and said in that way she says things, well, I never. I've been thrown out of better places than this. And we all cracked up as she mock stormed out of the studio with a very amused Tony, who never said a single word. That was our experience with Betty White, and I've never forgotten how perfect her timing was and how absolutely hilarious the moment was. She was one of a kind. We will all miss you, Betty.
And of course,
if you ever watch or listen to the Gummy Bears theme again, Betty White was there.
And of course, one other thing that we can enjoy Betty White on with is the classic episode of The Odd Couple, which is available both as part of the complete series set and available in various forms on YouTube. The famous Password episode, which Jack Klugman said to me on our program, was his favorite episode of all The Odd Couples, and it's a classic. And Betty and Alan are pretty much straight. They're the straight men on that episode, but they're both very, very funny.
Yes, and very, very good. And that's another hallmark of prose, is that Betty stood back and was not the funny one. She was the straight person. And boy, you want to see something really funny, you must see that show. And if you've seen it before, watch it again. We need to laugh. That's a funny, funny episode. I'm glad you brought that up, because that is so, so funny.
Betty White passed away Friday, December 31st at age 99. Any final thoughts, Greg?
I want to say that, like I was saying, Betty White is for all ages. She's done stuff for all ages. She never stopped being somebody who could be hip for the hip, and nice for the nice, and sweet for the sweet. I mean, let's encourage. There's always a sentence that applies to someone we've lost. They'll never be another one. They don't make them like that anymore. And all of that. I think that's true, because she wasn't original. But I do think there are people of all ages out there. I think what should be encouraged is people like that who are out there, and not so, because there are versatile, wonderful talents out there, let's find more Betty Whites and get them more attention, because look at the treasure trove that she gave us. You know, let her be an example for us to follow and for more people to follow.
You can read Greg Arabar twice a month, cartoonresearch.com. Greg's forthcoming History of Hanna-Barbera will be coming out.
Spring 2023.
All right. Well, spring 2023 will be with us before you know it. Greg, as always, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ed.
Thank you for supporting Actors and Others for Animals. We started a long, long time ago.
You can still take part in the Betty White Challenge by going to BettyWhiteChallenge.com, as it's safe to say that Betty would have done anything possible to support this important cause.
So when you find an organization like Actors and Others for Animals, it sort of unites all of those of us who want to pay back something for all the joy we get out of animals.
You can learn more about the Betty White Challenge by going to BettyWhiteChallenge.com, BettyWhiteChallenge.com.
Please keep up the good work. Believe me, it's deeply appreciated.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV Confidential, or @TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.